Hello and welcome to a very special broadcast that is happening here through the facilities at Trent Radio 92.7 CFFM in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada, located between Quebec and Manitoba. My name is Jill Stavely, and I have been very fortunate to be part of a larger-than-us project surrounding radio drama production and creation here at Trent Radio that was funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. This past year, we have been able to work with about 30 to 40 different people who have participated in our active goal to find new and exciting ways to make community-directed, community-inclusive, community-creative radio drama happen here at Trent Radio. And so as our big finale of the season, I'm sure you've been tuning in every time we've done some productions, we've done some live stuff, we've done some pre-produced stuff that was recorded here in Studio C. Today we will be featuring two live off the floor radio dramas in an effort to expand our capabilities in the production of community-minded activity, which directly involves a limited time schedule, sometimes a limited roster of people, and a whole lot of energy and creativity. So we're going to have two scripts that we're going to work on today. One's going to happen here from Studio A, and then we're going to switch over into Studio C. So do not think it's over after the first performance. And I want to give you a warning now. The content in one of these scripts is maybe considered offensive to some. So if you have children in the room with you, I would recommend turning off the radio. I guess this is your listener discretion from Trent Radio for the art that is created by our community members. The first script that we're going to do live from Studio A is called Some of This is True, and it's written by Jeanette Platana, and it will be performed by Jamie Campbell and Mike Lebovsky. So I am going to turn down my microphone, and I'm going to turn up their microphones, and we're going to see what happens in Radio Drama Land.
A week of 9 to 5 at Sears. My first week of being a working-class hero. I don't even bother to look at the calendar. I know tomorrow is June 29th, and The Clash are playing at the Kinsmen Fieldhouse in Edmonton, which is on the moon, approximately 500 miles to the north and west of Regina, and my cousin never lets me even touch the car. Paula's schedule isn't the same as mine until Thursday, and on Thursday she acts like nothing happened at the Bush party last weekend when she was bugging me about my cousin. After our shift, she follows me out into the parking lot where he's waiting for me. Driver's window down and shit music blaring out. Paula's tall and has really big breasts, so my cousin has his eyes on them when he says to me, "Get in the back." He looks at Paula's shirt front and turns the music up louder. Under my thumb, a squirming dog who's just had her day. Under my thumb, a puppy dog, yeah, who's just changed her ways. It's down to me, yeah. The way she speaks when she's spoken to. Down to me, she's so dumb, she's under my thumb. It's Street Heart. They're from here. Paula leans down and shouts towards my cousin. I see her mouth moving, but I can't hear until my cousin punches the radio button. And then Paula is suddenly yelling, "Tomorrow night in Edmonton!" Then she finishes more normal. "Do you want to go?" My cousin frowns. I don't do that punk shit. "I'll go," I yelp from the back seat. Paula looks confused, but says, "Okay, we have to get the 10:30 bus." She steps back from the car and does a little fingertip wave. My cousin turns the music up again, and we pull onto Albert Street. At home, he parks so close to the garage that I have to walk behind the car to get to the house. He's already opening his door and getting out, and he meets me behind the car. Grabbing my arms above the elbows, he says, "Gotcha," like it's a game. He gets his face in close to mine and hisses, "What do you think you're up to?" He jerks his arms in and around me, and my feet leave the ground. He breathes, and my breath leaves my lungs in a grunt. "Your fucking problem," he says, "is you're always trying to be different. Drop." don't even think of fucking going.
But I do. Come out of your cupboards, you boys and girls. That's me. Next morning, I go to my boss and say, I've got to leave at 10 for the doctors. No way, Jose, my boss says, not raising his head. His scalp and hair are the same color. He knew you changed shifts 24 hours in advance. Besides, he says, looking at me over the top of his glasses, Paula already used that excuse. He stares at my head for a long while, until I unclip my ID badge, put it on the counter, and say, All right, I quit. He frowns in surprise. By 10:20 a.m., I'm in a Greyhound seat beside Paula. She has a Mickey of Southern comfort. She wants to talk about my cousin. The ride is 10.5 hours long. What's he like? A jerk, I say. Exactly like a jerk. He listens to shitty music. I like his car, she says. Uh-huh. It's my mom's car, but I don't tell her. We went driving around last night, she offers. Yeah? Yeah, we went to Wiscanna Park and drank some beers, and then we went back to your place. She giggles. I gave him a blowjob. I already know this. Why'd you do that to your hair? Paula says. I don't know. Felt like it. Your cousin is cool, she says. I say, he doesn't like punk. Neither do I, she says. Why'd you buy tickets, I ask. I didn't. My heart skips a beat. I stole them from my brother's girlfriend. She's going to shit. I hate this girl. I feel sorry for her brother, but I'm glad I'm going. So let's get drunk, she says. No thanks, I say, turning my face into the seat, shutting my eyes. When we come out of the evening and into the Kinsman Fieldhouse, people are mostly sitting in their seats. I drag Paula with me up front to the stage. I look back, and everyone in the Kinsman house is draining down the aisle towards us. It's like we're in a bathtub, and Paula and I are the plug that just got pulled. The hall goes black. Then the lights come up on treble chops, 12. There he is, feet planted together, right leg jerking with each chop like he's trying to stomp change out of a hole in his pocket. Pointy docks, one buckle across. Black jeans, pink socks, black shoes. Cowboy shirt with the sleeves sawn off. T-shirt with a white star and a red circle underneath. I can play guitar like that. Down, 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 strum all 6 strings at once. When the bass comes in, it rolls up like a hearse. I nail the first line like I'm part of the band. Paula thrusts her mouth to my ears and screams, Oh my God, I want to fuck him. I'm thinking, I want to be him. I sing loud, and when the ice age comes in on the chorus, and the sun is zooming in, and he lives by the river, I'm right on time, every time. The bass line starts to roll up the end of the song, and a rooster crows. Last night, after my cousin and Paula dropped me off, I sat on the kitchen chair beside my mom's bed in the living room. The hospital bed didn't leave the room. I turned my mom onto her side, made sure her arm wasn't stuck underneath. I watched Love Boat put Vaseline on her lips. I ate some soup, then watched MASH holding her hand. She didn't wake up or come to or whatever it's called when I kissed her forehead and checked her IV. We called it the living room, even though she was dying in it. A guitar string hammers Morse code. Short, 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 long, long, long. Short, 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 long, 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 just like on the record. SOS, SOS. My mom's hair hasn't grown back. When she was allowed to come home, nobody expected her to last more than a few weeks. My cousin was still working at his job when he moved in to help out. I hold my mom's hand, listen to her breathing and mine, and think, what a knob. It's not about going. It's about coming back. Darkness. Then the spy movie guitar riff and a single spotlight picks him out. He grabs the neck of his guitar with hand, peels it over his head. He raises it high and without looking, hurls it back, behind himself, into the dark. He grabs the mic, growls, drive, boom, boom, drive, boom, boom. When I hear my cousin come in the back door, I turn the TV up. Even so, I can hear his voice, and then a laugh in reply. After a while, I go down the dark hallway towards the bathroom. I have to pass my cousin's room. The door is open. They're not in there. I walk down the hallway. The light from the TV in the living room flickers on the walls so that it's all underwater blue. Everything feels slow as I get closer to my room. The door is open, and what I see first is Paula's dirty footsoles. Her toes are curled under, and she's rocking forth and back. Her bum is covered by her skirt, but she has no shirt on. She's got her arms on the bed, hands in fists, and he's holding her head down in place. He's fucking her in the face, my brain thinks, before I can stop it. My cousin's eyes are aimed at me, but I figure out too late that he isn't seeing me, because then he is. He sees me seeing him. The Kinsman house is full of screaming, but everyone shuts up when Joe Strummer knee drops to the stage. He falls forward and grinds the side of his face into the floor, holding the mic down. He tells it, "Baby, baby, won't you hear my plea?" He says it again, like a hiccup, like a sob. Everyone starts screaming again. Beside me, Paula bawls to no one in particular. "I want to fuck him! I want to fuck him! Why don't you just fuck everyone then, you fucking hosebag?" I scream at her, hurting my throat. She opens and closes her mouth, all happy, like I've said something nice. She holds her fisted hands out, both thumbs up, waist height. She hasn't heard me at all. My cousin's eyes fasten onto me. He locks his elbows, ramming his fist onto my old bedspread, and raises himself up. He is pumping so fast that his chin points at me. You, with each thrust. I try to stop looking, try to make my feet move. I want to go back to my mom, but when my feet do start moving, they take me down the hall to the bathroom. I go in and lock the door, slide down my back against it onto the cold tile. I sit there for a long time. I run a bath, but I don't get in it. I'm glad the TV's on loud. After I figure they've gone, I open the door. The hallway is dark. It's quiet. Back in the living room, I find out why. For some reason, my asshole cousin has turned the TV off. Also, my mom's not breathing. Joe Strummer is on his hands and knees, circling the mic. He puts his mouth close, so his lips are touching it. "My baby drove off in a brand new Cadillac." Her IV is still in place. But for a long time, I sit in the dark living room. Her face looks calm. I bolt the front door and the back door, hoping that bastard will stay out all night. I get into my mom's bed with her and stay there all night. In the morning, the house is cold. My mom is cold. Even though I know she can't feel it, I tuck the blankets in around her arms and legs, the bones bone thin. In the bathroom, I use scissors to get my hair short all over, then a safety razor on the sides to get down to the skin. It makes me look more like my mom. He stays low on the stage. I can almost touch his mohawk. His left arm is jackknifed, choking the mic stand. When he whips himself up to standing, the sweat from his face and hair splashes my fingertips. He leaps for the mic. "She ain't coming back." Squeezed upright beside me, Paula is danced up and down by the press of the crowd. "She ain't never coming back." I am happy. I wish I could raise myself up higher so Joe could see my Brigata Rossi shirt. I bob my head so hard it hurts my neck. I know I'm not Joe Strummer. He's the frontman of the only band that matters, and I am a teenage girl from Saskatchewan. The stage edge cuts under my arms as I reach. The drummer calls, 1, 2, 3, 4, drums and bass crash into each other. Feedback cuts above our heads like a bullwhip and lasts as long as the pain of that night. The drummer plays like he's sprinting on the spot. Joe Strummer turns his head to listen to something, mouths "what the fuck," nods at what he hears. Was it Cincinnati? Then nods at the bass player, all long legs, leather, and biceps. The pressure of the crowd is too much. I push back, use my elbows. Instead of more room, I suddenly have less. I'm vised between bodies that piston up and down, squeezing me off the ground. Paula's 5 or 6 people away. I reach my hand to her. She's yelling straight up into the air. My breath is pressed from me. My arms are on the stage, but my vision is going funny. "Hey, hey!" cries Joe. Then clang, buzz. The music grinds to a halt. Fucking nut house, isn't it? Shut it off. I think the music has stopped, but I could be going unconscious or into a dying dream because Joe, Strummer, and a roadie each have one of my arms. They're scraping me over the edge of the stage, my ribs a xylophone. My studded belt catches on the stage edge, and for a second I'm stuck. Scrape of metal fly, kneecaps, shins. Then over, and I'm beached on stage. I try to stumble up, get my feet and knees under me. A hand is on my arm. I reach up. I have hold of Joe Strummer's forearm. He looks right into my eyes, doesn't smile, just looks. His eyes are narrowed, soft at the corners. His mouth is open slightly, jaw relaxed. I can see the tip of his tongue. He's busy, that's all, saving people, I think. Then he smiles, showing shark teeth. The drummer counts and clamp down again. The ones who have been hauled to safety onto the stage, stranded punks like me, start to dance, heads banging, washed by feedback. Joe Strummer smiles, maybe at the white star on my red shirt, maybe at my straight leg jeans, at my hair, I don't know what. He pulls me to standing, puts one hand on either side of my head where the skin is still smooth from last night, draws my head towards his, ducks his so that my forehead and his touch, resting together, keeps his hands on the side of my head and shrugs his shoulders so I know to put my hands up too. I wonder what it must look like from the audience, what we look like with our foreheads together and our mohawks touching. I let my thumb and finger trace the outside edge of his ear from its pointed tip down to the lobe. A subsonic growl rhyme that should come next in the song doesn't, because Joe Strummer is whispering instead, whispering and whispering to me only, so that his breath dries the sweat from our skin. He rolls his forehead against mine and whispers and breathes, and what he says is so low that I already know it'll take me years to figure it out. For a moment, he lets his cheek rest in my open palm. Then everything drops out. Kick, snare, 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 kick. Joe's hands let go of me, and he leaps to the mic. What are you gonna do now? I can breathe now. I can take a breath. So I do. And then I take another.
That was a performance of Some of This Is True by Jeanette Platana, performed by Jamie Campbell and Mike Lebovsky. You are listening to our finale radio drama project here on Trent Radio 92.7 CFFM in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. We are going to take a short local music break to switch over into Studio C.